Many things were cut during the recession, and one of those was slashing mental health services in many states around the country. Since 2010, states have closed almost 4,000 state psychiatric facilities. That data comes from the National Association of State Mental Health Program Directors Research Institute. We all know that during times of financial strain, cases of depression and anxiety are on the rise, and that increases the need for precisely the type of services that get cut. Bloomberg News reporter Tom Maroney took an in-depth look at the state of our mental health care and found that, by and large, acute care for the mentally ill has diminished and includes far shorter stays at hospitals. Tom Maroney joins us now, and you can read his incredible piece, which covers a large area of mental health care. But you focus in on the story of one guy, Adam Knapp, who's a 30-year-old schizophrenic, and his family. Tell us what happened to Adam, Tom.
Well, certainly, and thank you for having me today. Adam had an awful ordeal that began in 2004. His parents, you know, the best kind of support you can have, these two folks, Dan and Marcia, and I know you're going to hear from Marcia in a moment, got him to the hospital in 2004, and things went pretty well. He stayed about a month, and he got medication that he didn't necessarily want, forced medication. They went to court to get an order. And he came out of there, and he was pretty good for a while. But then, as you trace his life through the next 6 years, you really focus on those last 7 or 8 weeks when he was in 4 different hospitals. They let him out, as his parents will tell you, too early, without the right medication. And in the end, the final stroke of all this is that his mother was taking him. They were both going to his aunt's house. They were going to go have some dinner at a restaurant. They were in Columbus, she near Akron. He was driving. They got to the restaurant, and unbeknownst to anybody, he took the keys. He takes off for Seattle, Washington, and just drives and drives and drives. He gets out there, and for reasons still not clearly known, but he was certainly sick, poor Adam is in the middle of the highway, 11 o'clock at night, and he turns his car around, a complete U-turn, right into oncoming traffic. He smashes into a few cars. There's a woman in an Explorer who's killed. She survives 3 weeks, but then she finally succumbs to injuries. Adam gets out of his car, and he jumps the guardrail, and he's hit by 5 cars on the other side. Just a horrific, horrific stuff. And this is what really compelled me to tell this tale. I mean, Adam's parents opened their home, opened their heart to me. And I think, you know, I just want to say that right now. It's a courageous move on their part. They've told me early on that they wanted to make some sense of this and try to help other people in the same straits.
And we're going to speak, as you say, to Adam's mother in just a moment. But, Tom, one of the reasons that you use the story is not just to talk about this terribly tragic tale of Adam Knapp, a 30-year-old schizophrenic, but to use it as an example of what's happened to our mental care system. Maybe you could kind of draw some parallels between what happened with his care and his medication and what is happening all over the country.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I will tell you, I agree with your introduction that this is in part due to the recession, but this is not necessarily a story about the recession. There's been a real spirit, a real move for the last several decades to get people out of institutions and into the community. And a lot of people have really done well under that. I mean, none of us want to go back to those days of these dark, gloomy institutions. On the other hand, my reporting shows that we've perhaps gone too far in trying to get people out, giving people their individual rights. The stays in acute care hospitals where these folks end up when they're in such terrible, terrible shape have dropped significantly from, you know, 12 and a half days to about 7.5 days in the last 20 years. A lot of this, I'm told, is due to the insurance company saying, you know, if he's not a harm to himself or others, out he goes. We have to save the money. At the same time, getting the right medication goes to the heart of this kind of civil liberties debate that we see going on. But again, a lot of this was predicated on this move of getting people, a good move, by the way. People will applaud this, getting people out of these institutions. A lot of people now, though, are looking and saying, we've gone too far. So that's sort of the backdrop of this. And the more work I did on this, the more convinced I became that there are people, unless this touches your life in a real way, you really don't have any idea what the mentally ill go through in this country.
That's Tom Maroney, Bureau Chief for Bloomberg News in Boston, also with us. And thank you so much for joining us is Marcia Knapp, who's the mother of Adam Knapp, the 30-year-old schizophrenic who lost his life, took his own life. Marcia, who's at fault here? Who's at fault for Adam's death and the death of the young woman who died in the auto accident?
Well, I truly believe that the hospital is at fault because we begged them along with the NAMI group of people to keep Adam in longer. We knew that he was not stabilized at that time. And they released him anyway. I mean, we hadn't even been able to talk to the doctor during that week's stay until the day that he left.
But why did they release him? What did the doctors tell you when he walked out of that hospital?
They said that he was cooperating with them, which he always did because he wanted to get out. But it didn't mean he was stabilized or by any means ready to leave the hospital. You know, I could clearly see that because he was so paranoid, he wouldn't even see his dad in the hospital during that last stay until the last day because the doctor had told him, you can't go home until you agree to see your father. So, you know, it made no sense to me why the doctor thought he was ready to go home when he was still very clearly paranoid.
What made you think that he was not ready to go home? I mean, you say he was paranoid, but it still must have come as a shock to you when he drove off as you were heading off to a family dinner, and then eventually you found out what had happened to him.
Well, right. And we were at the restaurant, and he said he was going to go outside to make a phone call. I didn't see him take the keys. And after a few minutes, I went out to see what was going on, and he was gone. And you know, I knew, you know, in my heart, I knew a disaster was coming because he had gone through so much over that last almost 6 weeks being hospitalized in different hospitals and not getting the proper treatment and the proper care.
And he was in the hospital because he'd tried to commit suicide, I assume. Marcia Knapp is the mother of Adam Knapp, a 30-year-old schizophrenic who took his own life, and another woman was killed during that incident. Also with us, Tom Maroney, the bureau chief for Bloomberg News in Boston. Tom, what was the hospital's response to this incident? Certainly, I'm sure they were as devastated by what happened to Tom and Elisa, the woman killed in the auto accident as well.
Well, of course. I mean, bottom line is that they didn't want to talk about this. The hospitals that I tried to talk to finally issued some statements expressing their condolences, but there's all this patient confidentiality. I have to believe that there are well-meaning people that go to work every day and try to help these people. On the other hand, and they're under a tremendous amount of pressure, and as Marcia just told you, they were getting, you know, the complete, listen, he's okay, he's fine to go. We have no problems with that.
That's Tom Maroney, Bureau Chief for Bloomberg News in Boston. You can read his great piece on the state of mental health care in the U.S. Thanks to both of you.